I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang! DDP.
DDP. Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as we broadcast live from the DDP Radio Megaplex in beautiful downtown Parts Unknown. My name is Mike Mullins. As always, you can check me out at mikeand90%.com. We are lucky to be joined, per usual, by the insightful, the intelligent, and always inspirational Stacey Morris. Hello, Stacey.
Hey, Mike. Great to be here this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, as usual, I'm joined by the cornerstone of the DDP Yoga franchise. He is the exotic Adrian to my Miss Linda. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend and yours, Robert McLaren. Robert, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Do you sit up at nights all week thinking of how to intro us creatively?
It stays on my mind constantly. But we usually do the witty banter and or not so witty banter and the schedule and all that stuff. But we have our guest on the line as we speak, and we don't want to keep him waiting. We are super excited about the show tonight. If you don't, it don't get bigger than this in the wrestling world. We're super excited to be joined by the man with the largest python in the room, and I mean that in a strictly PG sort of way, WWE Hall of Famer, Team DDP Yoga member, the master of the DDT from Stone Mountain, Georgia, Jake the Snake Roberts. How are you, sir?
Wonderful, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing good,
great.
Bro.
Unbelievable,
welcome,
man.
Welcome back.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We have a lot to talk about tonight, and we have a lot of questions we want to see since we've talked to you last. But first things first, I want to mention this, because this is a great, great avenue that a lot of wrestlers have taken and doing the live shows. And you have your Unspoken Word Tour, which I think the name is apropos, because Jake the Snake, as a wrestler, didn't have to speak, didn't have to use words to communicate with the wrestling fans. Oftentimes, you can get more out of a look or a smirk or an eyebrow raise than most guys can get out of a 15-minute interview. But tell us about this Unspoken Word shows you've been doing. And for the record, you can see him live Lake City, Florida, July 19th. What do we have to expect at these shows?
A little bit of this, a whole lot of that. I don't have a format. I just kind of go out there and roll with it. You know, all those years I was doing interviews, I never thought of my interviews until I got out there and just started going to it, let the heart speak. But basically what the fans can expect is, you know, it's like being in the locker room and hearing guys tell our stories, except we have our clothes on, of course, this time. And that's a good thing. But, I talk about moments with Andre, with Hacksaw, with Macho Man, with Undertaker, Terry Funk, right on down the line. And then, of course, all the Snake moments come out, too. And, it's just a whole lot of fun for me, because I get a chance to entertain and watch people as their eyes light up and laughing at each other and poking each other. And it's just a great time. And go out and do about an hour of it, man. And, I always like to talk about my sobriety also. I do talk about EDP yoga at the shows too.
And the great shows like that, and like whether it be a radio show or a stage show, the greatest part about a show like that is the atmosphere that you're just sitting around with a group full of a few hundred friends, 3,000 friends, just shooting the shit, telling stories. And years in the wrestling business, you know, wrestlers are the greatest storytellers on the planet, and they can improv better than anyone on the planet, feel the crowd, know where to go, know where to take things. And your years in the wrestling business, you know how to tell a story and to get the most out of the impactful, pops and lows and stuff like that. Do you find that your wrestling career and the work in the ring has affected the way you talk, you know, to a group of a few thousand people?
You know, for me, I was always kind of like the best interview guy on the market. So for me, it's just the same old, man. I enjoy talking. I enjoy watching people be entertained. So, certainly all the years that I spent doing what I did has helped. But, remembering some of these stories, it's a blast for me. I still enjoy them. Man. It's just great moments. You know, whether I'm talking about, Undertaker and a strip joint and some silly stuff that happened, or Rick Rude, or it didn't matter who. You know, sometimes I toss it out to the fans and say, okay, you guys tell me who you want to hear a story about, and I'll go from there. And sort of give them their choice of flavors.
That's awesome. And I want to mention this because I know a lot of people, you get the questions a lot about your soft-spoken promos that you did, get the impact out of talking softly. But something people don't talk about very much is how intellectual your promos are. A lot of guys go out there ranting and raving, I'm going to kick your ass, I'm going to do this. But you were very, very intelligent. You use vocabulary and references and analogies that, were intelligent. And this guy is like he's not a ranting and raving idiot. He's a smart, intellectual guy who's very calculating and just wants to see the world burn. And you had the way about you that people believed you could actually make that happen.
Well, I like to play chess, basically you're playing chess with your mind. You want to take them up, you want to take them down. I couldn't scream if I wanted to. I had my voice box crushed like 1975. And, sort of giving me that bedroom voice, they say, and that's a good thing.
Barry White's got nothing on you, brother.
Right. Except yeah, absolutely. No, it's just a great time all the way around, And not only is the unspoken word doing well, man, we're getting real close to turning that movie out on everybody, man. And the resurrection of Jake Roberts, I think, is so awesome, man. And I really I can't wait till it gets out there and everybody's seeing it because it does my heart so much. It just really fills my heart with joy, man, whenever I have people come to me and say, hey, dude, maybe a guy I kind of blew off, or my buddy that I don't talk to anymore, or my cousin that the whole family walked away from, maybe we need to give him a second chance, because without a second chance, Jake the Snake Roberts wouldn't be here today, because Dallas is the one that said, hey, man, I'll try helping you. And it's not easy helping a drunk or a drug addict, because bottom line, we're going to lie, we're going to cheat, we're going to steal, we're going to do all those horrible things, because that's what we do. But for Dallas to be man enough and have enough love for me, man, to reach out and pull me through it and the help of DDP Yoga, of course, that was a big part of it, man. People don't understand that getting healthy helps you with your drinking problem. Because you start getting those endorphins released, man. Start tuning it up and making it feel better, tweaking it. And all of a sudden you're moving again, you feel like a real man again, or a real woman again, instead of being somebody that kind of looks like a slug sitting over the corner with a crack pipe in her mouth and a 12-pack. I mean, that's the difference.
I got a chance to talk to Dallas about the process before it even happened, when he was actually thinking of moving you into Atlanta and having you come stay with him, and just seeing this come from the very beginning. But what I liked most about this project is it's a very realistic view of addiction. It's not the Rocky story where everyone just kicks ass and wins all the time. It's a very real view of it. And when you did have your struggles, when you did fall down, I think one of the most important things Dallas did for you is when I watched that video and he said, you didn't fail. You're 145 days or whatever it is in one.
Right.
Because as soon as you get that mindset that I just screwed all this up and all the work I did was for nothing, it just kind of, sets you at step one. But if you look at it, I'm 145 days in one. I pick myself up tomorrow. I'm 146 days in one.
Right. Well, that's part of the why the addiction tells you. It tells you that you're worthless, that you'll never make it, you can't do it. It tells you all the negative stuff. And, of course, we all know how Dallas is about negativity. He's just got loads of it in his closet. Are you kidding me? Mr. Positive, he's just pushing, and when you get down, it's hard to get up, and it's damn near impossible to get up if you got negativity around you. And that was the key for me, man, was coming into the crib and being surrounded by good people that genuinely cared about me. And that's something in the beginning I had a hard time believing that, because in my world, from the things I went through as a kid, being abused and everything, there were no good people, so mm-hmm. All of a sudden I got people around me that are pushing me and pulling on me, and they're also showing me enough love and making me believe it was time. It did take time for that to kick in, trusting them. That was big, man. That was big to spill my guts, put the stuff out there that hurts, and the stuff that you're ashamed of. And again, shame is just another tool of addiction. So, the first thing you got to do, man, if you're going to get clean, is you got to admit you got a problem. And I didn't have a problem doing that, man. It's pretty obvious I had a problem.
Well, I met you in California a couple of years ago on the mm-hmm. docu-mercial, and you struck me as one of the most honest people that I've ever met. And you were very forthcoming, about your demons and about how you're conquering them. And it really, I've seen your evolution from a distance. And in the beginning, right. You were real, and probably out of necessity, sheltered at the crib.
Right.
But
right.
Now you've really come out into the world, and, you're kind of living life in a bigger way. How is that for you, being more out there and like exposed?
It's not something I take lightly. It's something I protect, and I've got a daughter that lives with me, and she protects me too. It's not like I'm out there with my blindfold on, just spinning around in circles and trying anything. No, we still have that team that's around me and watches me and helps me. I'm having problems now with my speech and my memory. After 40 years of wrestling and probably 120 or 130 concussions, I'm going to have issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard when you travel on the road and you wake up in a hotel room and you can't quite figure out where you're at or what you're doing there. So, it's like Dallas said, bro, you got to get the right tools for the right game. Well, my tools are my daughter and the people around me and DDP yoga and my material that I use for the show. These are all my tools. So getting mm-hmm. out there, it's not like I'm out there, I'm the only guy on the team, because I'm not, and I don't want to be the only guy on the team, man. I kind of like this thing where we got people all pulling together. And the biggest part for me is my daughter, man, because she's here with me 24/7, poor thing. I don't know how much longer she's going to last. She's probably going to wind up in a funny farm someplace, twiddling her fingers and barking at the moon. But right now she's doing a pretty good job of it. I love it because makes me proud of myself, and that's something I've never had. I always had those demons that mm-hmm. made me ashamed of myself, and being sexually molested, I was ashamed of myself there. I thought it was my fault to deal with all those things and still come out on top is one thing, but to deal with that and then go to the mirror each morning and look in that mirror and say, dude, you're a pretty kick-ass guy, and that's where I'm at right now.
Wow,
that's awesome. And Stacy mm-hmm. talked about you being honest, and as an addict once you're an addict, you're an always addict. But you had, even through that, addicts are known liars. They lie to get what they
right.
want. They lie to get what they
yeah.
need. Through all of that, you always had an authenticity to you. I only knew you through a TV screen, but I liken it to an old blues player. You can
right.
sing the blues, or you can live the blues. And a lot of those guys
yeah.
have lived and had those hard times. And when you looked into your eyes, and I noticed it later in life, not really as a kid, but when you spoke, there was a believability into you, in your eyes, that this guy has seen some shit that I haven't seen. And there's
right.
an authenticity there. And I had a talk with Jim Cornette a long time ago, and he told me one time an old school wrestler told him whether wrestling was real. I can't make someone believe wrestling was real, but I can make them believe I was real. And no matter what,
right.
no matter what you were telling me, you look in your eyes, and there's a Jake Roberts is real. He's seen some shit in his life.
Well, that's, you know, people ask me how I got to be so good at doing interviews and stuff. It's real simple. When you grow up and you're dealt all these cards that nobody else wants to play with, and you got to walk into a room and read these people and do the right thing, or you're going to get hurt emotionally, physically, whatever, you learn to lie pretty quick. And you make them, you make the lie good, because you don't want, you know, you don't want repercussions from somebody abusing you or taking something out on you. So you got to like curveball and make it go over the plate, man. And I'm so grateful for everything that I've had in my life, because I tell you, you know, it sucks some of the stuff that I went through, but now I can help people that are there, because I made it and they can make it too. And there's no greater joy for me, man, than speaking to somebody at a wrestling show or an Unspoken Word show or at the gym or wherever, and knowing that I just helped them. And I helped them by exposing myself and by surviving it. And that's pretty good stuff to walk around with, man. You know, it might not be a Purple Heart, but you know, it's damn good stuff to carry.
And we talk a lot about the darkness of Jake the Snake Roberts, but I've actually spent some time with you in the past. I worked a show with you a while ago. I'm sure you don't remember. You've been to many of them. But one thing that people don't realize about Jake the Snake Roberts is, for such a dark persona, you're a pretty funny and rather sarcastic guy, which I love. I love the sarcastic humor. And you are, you're a funny guy, and I know you've appeared in a few different film projects, but someone as versatile as you, who can do comedy and make someone laugh, and then the 2 minutes later be spinning the darkest web of storytelling imaginable, is that something you want to get into, acting? I know it's a much different world than wrestling. People group those things together, but it's a totally different skill set. Is that something you want to get into?
I want to do everything, man. You know, I've got a whole fresh new world out here to play with. You know, I mean, number one, doing it sober is different, but I would love to get into more acting. You know, I've done my own 6 or 7 movies now, and I did get to play one part that was pretty devilish, and it had to do with drugs too. So it's called Heavy Water, and I can't wait for that to come out, because I just want to see how it all ties in together. But no, I would love to get into films, man. And you know, I'm going back to school now. I'm going to complete some classes and pole dancing, so I think the world is ready for that Jake Roberts. And you know, hey, get those $50 bills out and be ready to tip, because I'm coming at you. Stacy.
Oh well, I did say you had the biggest python in the room earlier. So, ladies,
yeah, there you go.
And you know, speaking of that, I bet you get questioned all the time about Damien. And, what was the deal? I mean, did he have a writer? Was he treated well? Did you like him, or did you just tolerate him? What's the real story?
I tolerated. I'm scared to death of damn snakes. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I talk about in Unspoken Word. I never did like snakes. You know, I'm scared to death of damn things. You know, I was raised in Texas. I'm not from Stone Mountain. I don't let that out of the bag, too, didn't I? But, you know, with water moccasins and rattlesnakes and copperheads and all that stuff, hell no, I don't like snakes. Still don't like snakes. And, you know, I don't even like people that own snakes. That's how far I'm at. That's how far I'm going with it. Because I think something's wrong with you if you like those damn things. I'm just telling you, there's nothing fun about getting bitten. And, they still ask about it, sure. You know, and hey, guess what? I'll pick another one up if somebody pays me enough. You know, I've always been a bit of a whore. You know, pay me enough, I'll do just about anything. I'm not afraid.
One of my favorite things is when Bobby Heenan, during his Hall of Fame speech, went off about the Wildlife Federation and the amount of animals that were backstage at a WWE event. It's like a zoo.
Oh, yeah, it was, man. You had the Komodo dragon, you had the snake, you had the bulldog, you had the damn bird. So, man, and then you get into the real animals, the guys, you know, because there was some nuts loose there, man, and
think Bobby Heenan said you want to see animals, try seeing offense, seek it at Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. You don't want to be in the way, man. You could lose an arm easily.
Man, I know Stacy had a question, and I want to get to this as well, because we talked about your recovery and all this stuff, but, you know, your health has been a big, you know, issue in your life. And Stacy had a question she wanted to ask you about juicing, right, Stacy?
Well, yeah, I've heard that you're really, that's a new passion of yours, and you've taken it up. And so we would love to know, first of all, how it's helped you, how it's changed you, and what are your some of your favorite combinations and concoctions of juices?
I like pears, and I like, you know, of course, you got to get the good stuff in there, too. But, you know, whatever I'm going in there, whether it be, what's this stuff? Kale and carrots and things like that. Then I'll just take, you know, whether it be pears or a few strawberries, man, just to give it a little sweet taste to it. But the juicing and the beets, I love beets, you know. And anytime I do beets, I know that I get to drink it all because my daughter hates beets.
Jake, when I was in the business for a few years, not on the level as you, but I beat my body up to the point where I was getting a pretty hefty prescription every month. And when I kicked that myself, I found that juicing in doing research is great for you know, people who are building neurotransmitters and fixing your organs and kind of revitalizing your body from all the damage you've done over the years. That juicing kind of is great, and it's just rebuilding the things you've destroyed.
Yeah, it does help you with getting back on the right track, man. You know, you go from having all that gluten in your belly and all that stuff for all those years. You need something to clean that stuff out. Maybe we should try garlic and onions. I don't know. But, no, I enjoy juicing, man. I love the taste of it. You know, I mean, if somebody told me 3 years ago that I was going to start eating kale and all that other crap, I'd go, are you crazy? Hell, I'd get up in the morning. This morning I was in here doing it like 4 o'clock this morning doing juicing. And I'd had some bad dreams, if you want to put it there, drug dreams. And I hate those damn things. They're getting further and further apart. But, man, they are so vivid and so real and so scary, man. And, I just got, you know, when that happens, I get back, I just get up because I know that, you know, I don't know why my sex dreams, I can't go back to them, but if I have a drug dream, it keeps coming back down, it'll go right back to it. The sex dreams, it's like I get a little taste and they're gone forever, you know, I never get to finish anything on those.
What a bummer.
Yeah, tell me. I guess what happens when you're alone too much. Ah, well.
That's the juicing. You got the DDP yoga down. First of all, man. I mean, seeing you do the DDP yoga, you're rocking it on the mat. I'm thinking you and I go into business. We don't need DDP anymore. I'm thinking we start DDT yoga, go into business for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And all the pretty girls from Dallas, and let's get things fired up.
Factor pole dancing in, because I'm sure there's lots of young ladies I would love to teach pole dancing to.
And then, as if you're not doing enough, I hear you're almost finished with your autobiography. Tell us about that.
It's just about done, and it's not my whole life story, because I'm number one, not through living, but it's the first 20 years of my wrestling career, and 600 pages. It's in depth. It's not only about just wrestling; it's about my life, and it's about the struggles, and you know, I'm hoping it's going to help a lot of people heal, man, because, you keep that stuff inside you. You got to get it out to light and expose it, man, whether it be addiction or if you've been molested or anything. Your problems have to be brought to light to be cured. You know, it's sort of like getting a cut. You got to put an antiseptic on it. You know, you got to put the right stuff on it, man, to get it healthy again. And hopefully the things that I talk about in the book and the in-depth that I go into will help them understand what wrestling is, too, and how I approached it, whether it be interviews or the wrestling itself. I go in-depth on all that stuff, so it's going to be awesome, man. And it's so crazy how the timing is going to hit on this thing, because it seems to me, it looks like it's going to be book movie or movie book right at the same time, you know. And,
well, that's what I wondered.
That's a good thing.
Who do you want to play you?
But if it's a movie, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's anybody good enough out there, you know? If they did a movie about me and following my life story, Jesus Christ, you'd have to be somebody goofier than a bed bug.
I know that it's a well-known fact.
Will Ferrell or somebody. No, that Will Ferrell.
So it's a well-known fact, even admit this, I'm sure, that a lot of people had cast off Jake the Snake Roberts as another wrestling tragedy.
Yeah,
and the fact that you've come back so strong and have, I don't think that, I've seen you at appearances and you're in demand again and people are calling you for your autograph signings and shows and wrestling shows and movies and books. I don't think you ever really fully understood your own worth, your own self-worth.
No, I never did. I never did, and I've never been a great businessman because I had so much shame involved in my life, and because of I knew I was guilty of drugs and alcohol, so I never got in there and pitched for myself. Hell, the only thing I cared about was getting high and getting drunk after the show. You know, I mean, there have been times that I went in that ring high, but guess what? I still did my damn job. I mean, Mr. McMahon himself said, Jake, the problem with you is, we don't know when you're drunk or high or when you're not. I said, well, maybe I've never been straight. Maybe that's just the whole damn problem. But these days, man, just go out there and throw those aces is a great thing. It's good to have a good deck of cards.
Absolutely. And sometimes the functioning addicts are dangerous because you don't know when they're having a problem.
Absolutely. Don't
know when there's an issue. You don't know when to intervene or when something's off.
Yeah, I could have hurt a lot of people. Thank God I did. Unless I wanted to.
Absolutely. And I want to go over this real quick. I know you've got a couple appearances coming up. Of course, we talked about the Unspoken Word Tour in Lake City, Florida, July 19th. And then we also have a show at Six Flags in New Jersey. It's a wrestling show at 7 p.m. on June the 13th. And then June the 14th. Oh, excuse me.
I'm doing all sorts of stuff, man. Hey, in a couple of weeks, you guys follow me over to Australia. I'm doing a couple of weeks over there, too. It'll be a great time over there. Don't be afraid to buy that airline ticket.
Nice.
Cool. That's worth it.
Yeah, it'd be
did
a
you
great
honestly
time,
think,
man.
Did you honestly think at this part of your career, you would be as you ever have been?
If 3 years ago, I didn't think I was going to be a liar when I hit 60. No doubt. I did not think I didn't think I had another year left in me, man. I was really getting it low, man, and it was just really scary, man, because I don't know, man. You just get in that place, man. It's horrible, man. The torture that you put yourself through, you know. And I tell people today, had I known how good sobriety feels, I would have tried harder to get sober sooner. That's a fact, because being sober these days and receiving the fan support and the love and from my children, from the fans, and learning how to do new things and having offers come to the table and having enough offers that I can actually say no occasionally, that's pretty damn cool.
You can live without a lot of food and water and stuff, but once you lose the hope, it's pretty much just a high situation. And the fact that you found that hope and you have someone to believe in you talked about it earlier, believing in someone. If you have a friend or a relative that you've cast off as an addict or a drunk or whatever, just reaching out to someone. Dallas has said it before, you never can underestimate the power you believe by believing in somebody. What you can do by believing in somebody. And the fact that someone believed in you was the catalyst of you proving every single person in the wrestling business and in the world wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, and look at how your life has changed. You've gone from living, I know from experience, addiction is not only destructive, but it's a very self-centered existence. And you've gone from that to inspiring, legions of people. That's so fantastic.
That's what feels pretty good, man, when you I see people. I've seen a guy this last week. He says, Jake, what do you think? I've lost 35 pounds since you last seen me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember you. No, of course I don't remember, man. I can't remember my damn name sometimes. But these people coming up, and we're talking about weight loss instead of, hey, man, can you help me score? You know, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And we got to talk to you again sometime and get an update when your movie comes out and all this stuff. And obviously, you know, you are one of the biggest inspirations to not only Team DDP Yoga members and just showing people what you can do with your health and your life. And, you know, every day that you wake up in this air in your lungs and you're still breathing, you know, you have an opportunity to turn things around. And no one has proved that more than you. And I just want to thank you for taking a half hour out of your day today and talking to us.
No problem,
and it's a pleasure, sir.
Just let everybody know, one thing's for sure, God is good. Y'all take care.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks so
much. You bet.
Good night.
All right. That is the legendary Jake the Snake Roberts. There's no name in the wrestling business, you know, that equates to that kind of level of success. You know, you talk about your Hulk Hogan's, you talk to anybody in the world and they know who Hulk Hogan is. But almost on that level, you go to some guy on the street and say, hey, you know Jake the Snake? If he doesn't know who Jake the Snake is, he knows the name Jake the Snake. He's just one of those names that is universally loved and regarded. And I'm so, so happy to be one of the people that was proven wrong, because not a lot of people believed in Jake and believed that there was life after his problems. And he is just one of those inspirational stories that kind of proves everyone wrong and makes everyone think, wow, if he can do it.
Man, I'll tell you what, dude. The when Jake was talking, I had completely forgotten about this, but I guess it was about 10 years ago. I had talked to Jake, and at the time I was working with Chris Canyon's publishers. And when I had met Jake, we had talked about his book, because that's how long he's been thinking about putting a book together. But I had talked to my publishers, and they basically couldn't make a deal happen. But I'm kind of glad that they didn't, because back then, you know, there wouldn't have been a happy ending. You know, there wouldn't have been the other side of the story as there is now. So it's really cool that the book didn't happen at that time.
Yeah,
exactly.
That book is going to be amazing now.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a great point, Robert, because you only get one chance to tell your life story. And, you know, honestly, the ending that Jake Roberts has, I mean, I'm sure he's got many, many more years left on this planet. But if he went out today, I think he would be content saying, you know what, I wrap things up really, really greatly.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Jake for being on the show. And we got a little bit more time left. So if you guys want to give us a call, 347-994-1216. My co-host Robert had an awesome idea where we're going to kind of talk to you guys about, you know, think it, ink it. You know, we're going to do like a virtual inking of your goals. So we got summer on the horizon. We got summer coming up. We got the bikini season. We got the swimsuit season. And it doesn't even have to be about looks or anything like that. But we want to be healthy. We want to be confident. We want to be happy. We want to be content. We want to be okay with ourselves. And that's the main thing that we preach here. We don't talk about looking great in a bikini. Sure, that's fun, and you know, you're excited to look good in a bikini or a bathing suit, but we want to talk about inner happiness, inner content. So if you want to set a goal, whether it be a weight loss goal or a goal for your life or a goal just to be happy, call us, 347-994-1216. This is pretty much the audio equivalent of inking it on a piece of paper and sticking it on your fridge. So give us a call right now if you want to be in on it. And I'm going to start with our own crew. I think in order to, you know, make people comfortable enough to share their goals, I think we need to share something that we want to accomplish this summer. So I know I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot there, but I want to start with Stacy. Stacy, do you have anything that you're looking forward to achieving in the next few months?
Oh, my God. I feel like we're playing truth or dare now all of a sudden.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't prepared, Mike.
Well,
Robert, you came up with a topic, so I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, no, Stacy's on the spot. I'm after her. Go ahead, Stacy.
I'll go first. And I was thinking about this. Once Robert brought it up, it did get me thinking. And I really love that we're doing this now, because there's no wrong time. The time to make positive change is always now. Don't wait till the fall or January 1st. You know, life is happening now. And whatever little changes, they don't have to be a huge one. If you're just, you know, starting or thinking of starting a new way of life. But I've been at this for almost 6 years now. And what I really want to commit to is something I started a few weeks ago. Now, I live in an Arctic zone. We don't have good weather a lot of the time. Now it's a beautiful time of year to go out and walk, and I'm committing to doing that every day, at least 6 days a week, along with DDP yoga at least 4 days a week, because I feel better when I'm more active. The more active I am, the better I feel, and I do notice it when I don't do the workouts. I just don't feel as energized or as strong. I feel my posture change almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to really commit to that. And those are my two things. But like I really want to stress to people, you don't have to have 15 things on your list. One or two will shift everything. It'll change the rest, you know, the rest of the elements in your life. So just take a deep breath.
One or two goals at a time. You know, you fix one thing, and a couple months later you try to work on another thing, you'll become a different person, you know, very
absolutely
quickly.
Yeah, so those are my two.
That's awesome.
You, Robert?
Actually, I'm going to go because I want to save Robert as the headliner. Robert's the main event.
Okay.
He came up with a topic, so he gets top billing here.
You're just saying that because you're skipping.
I'm going to go real quick, and then we'll put Robert on as the main event. I don't usually set weight loss goals because I think they're counterproductive. But I'm going to kind of, for my own mental clarity, I had put on about 15 pounds during a lot of stuff that was going on in my life, you know, in my dad, you know, my just a lot of heaviness in my life. And I kind of, I didn't go off the rails, I wouldn't say, because I could have done a lot worse. But I slipped. I slipped. I got out of my routine and let myself kind of wander off a little bit. And I'm usually really good about, you know, seeing myself kind of float out there and reeling myself in when I need to. But I've been struggling to get off that 15 pounds, and it's been one of those things that I just, you know, I've been working at it, but I know I can do better. I know for a fact I can do better. And if, even with most things, most people, you know, whatever you're doing, you can probably do better at it if you really try. So my goal for this next couple months is I'm going to the Charlotte Fan Fest here, the NWA Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there's a lot of people that I'm excited to meet. I'm going to get a lot of pictures, and we're going to get some great audio for DDP Yoga. I've already talked to the facilitator of the event, and he's going to provide us with some great talent to speak with. But my goal is to lose 20 pounds, 15 pounds that I put on plus 5 pounds, because I want to feel better about myself. And it's not about a number, but that 15 pounds has kind of been just hovering over me for some time now that I just kind of want to pull it back and just get it off the shelf. So that is my goal for the upcoming weeks. I don't recommend weight loss goals constantly, but I think that's one that I need right now to kind of get off my shoulder.
Okay. That's a good one. And let us know how you're doing. And also, you know, you have a whole team here if you need support.
I appreciate that. And I do. I have. That's one thing that I try to tell people very much so. You don't have to do this on your own. And I try to preach that. In the past couple months when I was struggling, I reached out to you, Stacey. I know you were a big help to me. I reached out to Dave Orth. I was telling Dave, I'm like, hey, can you help me kind of just like get back in the routine of things and stuff like that? And despite my my kind of slipping a little bit, I still did my DDP yoga. I still did DDP yoga because it's one of those things that I don't even really look at it like it's a weight loss thing for me anymore, because I kind of need it to. Because if I go too long without doing it, my body just starts hurt and just ache. So it's almost like I always kind of use the analogy that DDP yoga is my medicine. I've substituted 120 oxycodone a month for Dr. Dallas prescribing me DDP yoga to kind of help my pain. And I depend on that, and that's what I do to kind of keep myself centered. So weight loss is a secondary thing for me. I love the fact that I've lost weight doing DDP yoga, but if I didn't lose a pound and felt as good as I do doing it, I still do it.
One suggestion I just want to throw out there for you and anyone who's trying to get a little more mindful and on track with food and weight loss, it always helps me to do food journaling. It is an eye-opener. It helps me just really be aware of what I'm eating. And it's just not – it's so easy to kind of, you know, eat more than I need to sometimes. and journaling. Sometimes I go back to it for a few days just to get me thinking about it a little more honestly.
I am a huge proponent of food journaling, and that's a great point, Stacey. I've got my food journal sitting right here looking at it right now as we speak. I buy these hardcover notebooks at Staples. I usually slap like a Maggie 90% sticker on it just to kind of like make it my own. But I write down everything. I eat breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, and then I do. I track all my waters, how many ounces of water I've had a day, my fruits and vegetables, just to make sure I'm getting it in. And it almost becomes a game for me. Like I have a goal that I want to get 4 veggies in and 3 fruits in every day. And checking those off and getting all those is kind of like a game for me. It's like an accomplishment. I've gotten all my checks in for the day. I've gotten my 96 ounces of water that I was hoping for in today. I got my multivitamin. I try to drink my healthy oils during the day. So it's almost like a game checking those off and then writing down your food. It's something that keeps me more honest. And if I hadn't done that, I tell you, I would have gone out on the other end of things.
Oh, that's a great idea to make it fun. It should be fun.
Exactly. And now we're going to go to the headliner.
Robert.
Joe Stopper, the main event of the evening, Sir Robert McLaren. What's going on, brother?
I don't know much, man. I appreciate you going first because you talked so long. It gave me a chance for a short nap.
Well, you know, all the main eventers used to like to go on halftime so they can get to the hotel and grab a bite to eat before the restaurant closes. So I kind of just screwed you and made you go back, and there's no room service available for you at the hotel.
Yeah. I'm actually just in time for breakfast the next morning, so that works.
Nice. So anyways, Robert.
Yeah, I've got actually 2 different goals, kind of like Stacey. One is I just want to get more consistent with my workouts because I'll go through periods of where I'll do like 5 or 6 days in a row, and then I'll miss 3 or 4. You know, so I want to get more consistent with that. But the other one really has nothing to do with DDP yoga at all. It's just that I think Stacey knows this, is that I tend to be at home a lot. I'm not a very social person. And I need to get out of the house. So that's one of my goals, is just to get out more and just to do more things outside of these 4 walls.
Robert, I know that you work from home, and I can completely relate to that, as I have been working from home for the past several months, or actually a couple of years now. And it really does. It gets hard. You think that being at home all the time would be just like, oh, I can't wait to get out of the house. But you get in a routine that getting out of the house sometimes seems kind of like daunting, like a challenge. And you get comfortable in your space. And I've noticed that since I've been at home that I tend to go out less. And it's more of a hassle to kind of get everything, you know, go out and, you know, do something. So it's really hard to kind of force yourself to get out of the house. And I love that goal, and I like to incorporate that into my life too, because it's so important, especially when you're working from home like you and I do. I know we've talked about this before, but if I wanted to, I could easily go 2 weeks without, you know, seeing daylight. It's one of those things that you just get so caught up in your space. And I love that goal, Robert.
Well, I mean, because it's very easy, you know, because right now I go out and I do something fun probably every second or third month. Other than that, the only time I leave the house right now is to go grocery shopping or do something else, or either that or I'm here playing, either working or playing a video game, but that's really the only downtime I have. So I need to, you know, make that more of a priority, or else I will just sit at the computer and I'll work all day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I completely relate to that. And I try to make a point, especially recently, is I won't even go like do a big grocery shopping, because if I know if I buy a bunch of food and it's in the house, it's going to be a lot harder for me to kind of just go out and do things. So I make a point to, you know, go out every day and go grocery shopping for dinner or something like that. And it helps, but it really is. It's, you think that, you know, being cooped up in the house all the time, you'd be dying to get out, but you get so used to your routine and so used to your space that it's like you find little reason or excuses or desire to leave.
Yeah, definitely. What were you going to say, Stacey?
Oh, well, I know I work from home too, and so I know you have to sometimes be aggressive about it and strict, like treat it as if it's a work duty almost, and it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
On a day when you decide, okay, this is going to be the day I set aside some time, pick a time increment. It could be from 4 to 6 or whatever, 7 to 8, but this is the time for me, and I've scheduled it in. That really helps
Yeah, I might have to do that because I'm usually I don't plan things. I don't do things on a schedule. You know, I'm horrible at goal setting because I don't really think ahead very well. So just that may be another challenge, is just to figure out how to schedule things.
Yeah, well, I have a to-do list every day because otherwise I'll forget, or, you know, I'll let things slide. So I put things like that sometimes right on the list, and it's a very empowering feeling to cross things off, too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm an aggressive note taker myself, or else I'd be screwed because I don't remember anything. Ask Katie. I find, you know, even Robert, I don't know what kind of neighborhood you live in or if you're able to do this, but I find that just going out, you know, go grab the mail and then just take a walk down the block, it kind of clears your mind enough. Working from home is very isolating. It's very, you know, you sit alone with your thoughts all day, and your thoughts are the only opinion that you hear. And, you know, not being around people, not being able to, you know, communicate with the outside world like you would in an office or anything like that is kind of, you know, counterproductive to, you know, your mental health at some points. Like, I'm sitting here talking to my cat all day, and I swear to God, he's talking back to me now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been doing this for like 3.5 years now. So, yeah, it's beginning to take its toll, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have that social interaction with people. So I know, you know, you've got friends and family, and maybe just making a point to just kind of just saying, like, hey, once a week, I'm just going to, either whether if people want to go out and do something or not, I'm going to go watch a movie, go to, like, a cinema, just get out of the house for a couple hours. That kind of helps me quite a bit, just to kind of, like, I'm going to go out and do something, just because if I don't, I could easily convince myself to stay in all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's a great goal, Robert. I like that one a lot, and I'm going to incorporate that into my goal as well, so thank you for that. But we have a call on the line we're going to get to real quick. If you guys, anybody else wants to call and ink their goal, 347-994-1216. Got about 10 minutes left on the show, and we're going to throw to Bill. I think we have Bill on the line.
And, how's everyone doing? I hope
you're
doing
good.
Awesome. Hey, Bill, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Just, you know, living life and trying to prioritize a couple things. Definitely one of my goals is to, you know, just take care of some medical issues I got. And then also this kind of goes with Robert's goal of just, you know, I look at getting out of the house like a hassle and like a daunting challenge. And, you know, it's something that, like, I could be content just staying at home for 2 weeks and just, you know, not doing much of anything. And,
I get up for Travis Roberts. You mentioned something right there, Bill, that made me think of something. I know Travis listens often. I don't know if he's listening right now. But I didn't get a chance to read his blog. I just didn't get a chance. I was meant to read it, and I didn't. But I saw the title, and it made me start thinking. He wrote a blog called Addicted to Doing Nothing. And I don't even know if the blog is about this, but it kind of made my own wheels kind of spinning. How, you know, doing nothing and just, like, lounging around all day and being, you know, useless is kind of almost an addiction. It's hard to break that cycle and be productive. And, you know, it's so easy to just lay on the couch and watch TV and do nothing. And breaking that addiction, you know, whether you know, sit at home playing video games all day or watching TV or just doing nothing, it's hard to actually get yourself to just go out and be productive and get out into the world. It's daunting for some people at sometimes. I know.
Yeah, I mean, like how Robert was saying, for him, it was just like he works a lot at a computer, you know, so he just gets out just to do the main things, like, that he needs to do to survive in life. That's kind of like me too. I'm like, all right, cool. I got to do this, do that. And, you know, I'm good. I mean, I just, you know, that's something I gotta put in, you know, and I'm not real good at, like, also goal setting, just, it's something, or note-taking either, but that's something I could hopefully, like, work on myself. And I just also wanted to, like, pass out there, too, because I noticed you guys had Jake Roberts on a little while ago, and I was hoping to kind of see if he was going to maybe put out an audio version of his biography book, because I don't know if he has a Facebook, but I seen that as a post that he put up. So you know, if someone could just kind of pass that along to him, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Mike.
We'll definitely let him know that. I think he would like to, probably, he wants everyone to experience his book, so we'll definitely pass that on.
Yeah, because, you know, it was cool. It was interesting listening to everyone talk with them, especially that little, you know, inside joke of you and him going into business and, you know, pole dancing and all that. Thank God I cannot see that. And Robert, you know, just close your eyes. That's what I can tell you there.
It's one of the perks of not being able to see Jake Roberts and people like us pole dancing. Trust me.
Well, thank God for that. But anyway, you know, for right now, sign up with a gym, but I'm just trying to, like, not do any weights at all. That is a strong goal of mine. It's just probably to get me through the summer.
Awesome, man. And you know, note taking is big. Ink it, write your goals down, you know, have them there. Just having them on paper just kind of, you know, materializes them a little bit. It makes it kind of tangible that it's like a real thing and it's something I can achieve. So that's my suggestion to you. And love hearing from you, Bill. Definitely keep us posted on how those goals are going. And we will pass those notes along to Jake. I know Stacy has his contact. So thank you so much for calling, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah, for sure. And if I want to get in contact with you, I can just email on your website or...
Mike@90%.com.
All right. Do you have a link specifically or just...
That leads to my Facebook page.
All right. Awesome.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. Good
you
luck.
You guys take care.
Take care, brother.
Have some fun.
All right. Bill right there. And, oh, look who it is. Just put him over. How did I guess that he was going to call? We just talked about Travis just a minute ago, and apparently he was listening because he's on the line right now. Travis, what's going on, my brother?
You know, all you have to do is say my name and I appear, right?
You're like a freaking genie.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, Jester Aguirre calls me the Midwest Ninja, so okay, whatever. I just throw my little puff of smoke and show up.
Nice. What's going on, brother? I put you over. I kind of put over your blog a little bit. Like I said, I did not get a chance to read it, but I kind of dug the title and the concept, so I will have to go back and check that out, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I talk about basically, and just like you say, just talk about you get addicted to letting life pass and just not doing anything to push yourself forward. And I talk about that. I think, you know, I think it pervades into everything else that we do in life. We get stuck and say, well, you know, I read too many comments nowadays where it's like, oh, I haven't done my DDP yoga for the past 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or whatever it is. You feel bad because you get addicted. You're in that spot where you were before. Well, you know, you need to recognize that, you know, hey, you're addicted to that old life. You need to take the time to step forward and, you know, break that addiction, break that momentum, and start moving forward again. You can do it. You have to, you know, take steps, surround yourself with people you need to do what you need to do and get it done. So,
absolutely.
I dug the
concept of that blog, and I will definitely be reading it. But it's so true, man. But you realize you just sit there doing nothing, and you know, one day you're gonna wake up and you're 70 years old, and you realize that, you know, I didn't do half the shit that I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah, you just let life pass by, and I really, you know, you see me a lot post on Facebook say own this day, and I really did that. As kind of an homage to the first time when Jake fell. Jake was really the one that put the idea in my head because, you know, he had a few weeks of good and then he fell down. So it was, you know, 45 days in one or whatever the case was. So it's taken each, every single day, and you're falling down some of those days? Sure you are. We're human. So you need to take the new day, start over, and do everything, and, you know, thing. I was going. The reason why I actually called, or you know, I'll sign up for myself or whatever, is my goal is you know, I don't want to let this slide, and I know this is going to sound self-promotional, but it's really I want to do this. My goal is over the summer here to do a YouTube show, a YouTube, for people and call it Face to Face with Midwest Strong. The reason why I do that is I want to give a chance to tell, help, show people, let people tell the story, not just over the radio. DDP Yoga is great. I love this show, and I listen. You're right. I listen every week. I want to give a chance to let people see people tell their story, tell about their struggles, and really give people the inspiration to make some changes in their life and make stuff happen. So that's my goal.
Awesome, great, great idea.
Sounds good, brother. And you know what? Midwest Strong, I think you're going to make that happen. I can see you pulling that off, brother.
All right. Well, yeah, I can
let us know. Please let us know when it starts.
I will over the next couple of weeks. You'll be hearing it. I've already been talking about, you know, get some guests on or whatever. So you will you stay tuned because you'll be seeing it come up here sooner rather than later.
All right.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling, Travis. Always there lurking. When we call your name, we'll know you'll pop up.
We'll see you later.
All right, man. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Brother.
Thanks.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. We got some great goals out of the way. We talked to Jake the Snake Roberts, and I can't stress enough how much we appreciate him coming on and taking the time to talk to us tonight. You know, he's been a friend of the program for a long time. He actually hosted the program a few times, as Robert and I were discussing earlier today. So Jake the Snake Roberts is as big a name as you will get in the wrestling business, and he was great tonight, had a lot of great insight. If anything you take away from tonight, I'm sure Jake will want this point put out there, and he said it so perfectly and articulately in only the way he can, but if you have a friend who's an addict or an alcoholic or are struggling with mental health or whatever it may be, don't cast off those people. It really is, it's deeper than you can realize. It's deeper than you can understand, and, you know, Dallas did Jake the biggest thing any friend or any person can give somebody, and he believed in him. And look at the outcome. Look at the good that has come from just a simple gesture of, hey, can I give you a helping hand? Don't be too proud. Don't be too jaded to give somebody a helping hand when they need it, because I'm sure you're going to need a helping hand sometime in your life. May not be with addiction, may not be with mental health, but, you know, we all struggle. We all have our times where we feel weak and down. And don't discount somebody who's going through that. And I think that's the biggest thing we can take away from tonight. If Diamond Dallas Page didn't believe in Jake the Snake Roberts, chances are Jake Roberts would be on an internet database of deceased wrestlers right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the power of reaching out is really tremendous. And, I mean, I saw that video when he walked into his house, and it didn't look good. You know, it didn't look like it was very, you know, the odds were in his favor, but it just goes to show you with support and at the right time, anything can happen.
And I just got to say this real quick, and that's a great point, Stacey. I remember a few years ago we were sitting in Mexico, and I was sitting there with Steve Yu and Dallas Page, and Katie was with me, and Dave Orth was with me, and we were talking about this project. And Dallas was saying, I'd like to move Jake in and try to get him back on his feet, get him healthy, get him on track, ready to go. And honestly, I didn't think it was a great idea. You know, Jake's track record hadn't been great. You know, the business was kind of blowing up. It's a big risk to put your name on something as questionable as that. And Dallas didn't listen to anyone else. He didn't listen to the naysayers who said it's a questionable move. It's your brand is on the line here, attaching it to something like that. He didn't think about the brand. He didn't think about the money. He didn't think about his DDP yoga. He thought about his friend, and his friend needed a helping hand, and he gave him that helping hand. And not only has it paid off, you know, with the movie and the DDP yoga and all this stuff, it's paid off because it saved a human life. And that's ultimately what we should take from this. So don't be afraid to reach out to someone in need. We're all going to be there at some point. So before, thank you so much for listening. Great show tonight with Jake the Snake Roberts. Thank you, Stacey Morris, for setting all of this up and her hard work, nailing down Jake and talking with his manager and all this stuff. So thank you, Stacey, for all your hard work in that avenue.
You're welcome. And thanks you guys. It was a great show. And Robert, for the topic for the second half. We're all ready to go now.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. For Robert McLaren, for Stacey Morris, my name is Mike Mullins. Don't forget, check out Stacey online, stacymorris.com. Buy her book. You won't be disappointed. Robert's always hard at work at ddpyoga.com, and you can see me at mike90%.com. Until next time, thank you guys so much. Remember, own your life. Never, ever, ever, ever give up, and don't be afraid to give someone a helping hand when they need it. Take care, guys.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Into the Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Wow! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.